Turn to Genesis chapter 1, if you would, today. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to be in 26 through 31. Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 31. Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 31. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, so every tree with seeds as fruit, you shall have them for food. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, this morning again that we can be here, Lord, to worship you. And today is every Sunday, God, should be extremely serious when we step into your presence and we step in to worship you. And I think today is even, I shouldn't say, Lord, that it's more important or even more special, but we better pay attention today and we better be bold, and we should take sanctity of human life seriously, not just one Sunday a year, not just one Sunday, but because of what we face in this world and the evil that is in this world, this should be on our hearts and our minds continually, God, because it is a direct attack on you. And so, Lord, today I pray as we talk about some tough subjects that, Lord, you'll be glorified. And we will not be conformed to the world and the world's opinion, God, but we'll be conformed to your word and your opinion. And we'll stand for what you say. And so, Lord, God, today I pray that we just learn what you have to say about this. So, Lord, I pray you'll be glorified and honored. I love you today. It's in your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So there was going to be a guest five-minute speaker this morning. Brother Gene Baker is a pastor here in town at another church. And he is, I believe, the president of the board, if I'm correct, of Choices Pregnancy Center. And he was going to be here this morning and give us an update on Choices Pregnancy Center because today is Sanctity of Human Life Day across our country. And so you have some flyers in here about Choices Pregnancy Center. I encourage you to look up their mission here in Marshfield. We're going to talk about a little bit about that today. Because today is Sanctity of Human Life Day. And so I always talk about this in January, the 1st of January. And you guys know me, I talk about it probably more a lot throughout the year. But I think this has to be on our list of items for 2026. It's on our hearts. And I want to be honest with you. I always want to be 100% transparent about everything that I say. I want to try to be 100% biblical on everything that we say. Even if this is something tough to live out, or something tough that some people don't want to talk about. But I'll be honest with you today, I'm pretty upset. I'm angry about this. I'm angry about this issue in our country. And quite frankly, I'm tired of having Choices have to come to our church every year. They have me do at the Choices banquet every year. It's usually in September, I believe. I usually do the closing on this. And my actual prayer this year, and I'm going to tell you what it was that we would never have to have another banquet ever again for Choices Pregnancy Center. That Choices Pregnancy Center would be shut down in 2026. Because if Choices Pregnancy Center is shut down, that means there's not abortions happening across our country. And so I'm frankly just sick of having to talk about this every year. I mean, do we really believe, if I'm being honest and completely transparent, that in 1776 in the United States, they had to preach about sanctity of life? No way. It was a given. It was just a given then that, well, we're going to honor every created human being. This wasn't even an issue then. In fact, Sanctity of Human Life Day didn't even start until 1984. And President Ronald Reagan started it in 1984 because he wanted to bring attention to this. And he wanted it the Sunday closest to January 22nd, which was the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. This has been celebrated or talked about in Christian churches for a long time. You all have probably heard this famous quote. The quote is, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. How many have heard of that? A lot of people have heard that. It's attributed to several different people. But I say I completely disagree with that. I completely disagree with that quote. I would say the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for the church to do nothing. Because when the church is quiet about something, we are the heartbeat of the country, of what the country believes. And so when we're silent about an issue or we don't talk about an issue, it becomes very prevalent in society. And so I think it's honestly absolutely embarrassing that we have to be reminded every year to stand on biblical truth and have sanctity of human life. We shouldn't even have to be reminded to talk about this. And here's the thing, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. This is a very political issue in our country. And you may be visiting this morning and say, I can't believe the preacher is going to be this political today. I want to welcome you here today, but I want to say that I'm going to be very biblical today. Because this is an extremely biblical issue. It's the forces of evil that have made this issue political, not the church. And so be it. If they've made it political, so be it. It's a very, very biblical issue. And we have to be awake on this. We have to be thinking about this. I pray that my fellow pastors are addressing this issue in some point during the service or preaching about it like I'm going to. But I want to tell you, for our local area, this year is going to be a huge year in this issue. A huge issue. Abortion is going to be on the ballot again in Missouri in November. In 2024, if you remember, it was voted upon, and our church, or not our church, the society, our state, passed it. So abortion was outlawed before then. It was made a constitutional amendment in 2024. So it's back on the ballot again. It's called Amendment 3. And Amendment 3 will be voted on next November, and we want to vote yes. We want to vote yes to repeal the abortion that was passed in 2024. So why talk about this from the pulpit on a Sunday morning? Because frankly, I believe that God would want us to. I believe the church, he would want the church to be talking about this. And for decades, we've lived in a country that has become more and more evil. More evil. The number of born-again Christian believers is vastly declining across our country. I don't look at that as anything more than that makes the fields or there's a harvest that needs to be taken. We have to be sowing seeds and spreading the gospel. In 1960s, the American courts decided that, hey, you don't have to acknowledge God in public school. Now, when you acknowledge God, and we have an amazing school district, I have a great relationship with our superintendent. We have amazing teachers. I was leaving the high school this week on Friday, and they were saying the Pledge of Allegiance. My daughter's the teacher in the school. We have teachers that talk about Christ. They have Bible verses. I love it. It's not like that all over our country, guys. It's not. Prayer used to be the regular thing. Now it's a politically incorrect thing. And so it goes to a deeper problem. When you start forsaking God and you stop teaching about that and it's made into a political issue and people don't want to talk about things and we got to be politically correct, you know what starts to happen with society? It starts decaying morally more and more and more. And you know how one of the ways we can see when society wants to dishonor God? It's the way they treat human life. Murder, killing, it's an average thing today. Kids bringing guns into high schools and shooting them up. The way we treat the unborn, there's just a lack of respect and dignity at all in our country for human life. When God made Adam in our verses, what did he create? He created a unique human being. Every person, regardless if you're an identical twin, you have your own separate set of DNA. You are your own unique person. Everybody who's ever been born in the history of the world is unique, and you're special. There's no one like you. You are created in the image of what? God. That's why this is an issue. During creation in Genesis chapter 1, what we read, God had a special day for every day of creation. And after each day of creation, what did God say? When he got done with creation for that day, he said it was good. Which we know from me teaching and you probably knowing that the biblical definition of good is perfect. It's perfection. So when God got done with each day of creation, it was perfect. But when he got done creating man, what did he say? Not only was it good, it was very good. You're special. Everything. The Latin word for image of God is what? Imago Dei. It means that we're made to resemble God. So when God made Adam, he was perfect. Perfect health. No, not going to die. Wasn't going to get tired. There was no sickness. There was no death. The Imago Dei, it refers to the immaterial part of humanity. It's what sets humans apart from the animal world. It's what gives man dominion over animals and plants that God created. He put us in charge of those things. Man is different than any other creation because he gives us the ability to what? Reason and choose. He gives us a free will. This is a reflection of God's intellect. Anytime you do anything with your brain, math, painting, singing, the worship team, when you write something, when you name your animal at home, Alan has a pet steer that he raised up that they thought the steer was going to die, and now what's Buddy weigh? 1,800 pounds or something? Maybe not that big. He's huge. He hand feeds him. When you name your little dog at home, that's all part of that, that God gave you the ability to reason and choose. And you're proclaiming when you do those things that you're made in God's image. You know that people who don't even believe in God can't get away from that? People that say they're atheists, they say what? Well, I don't believe in God, but I love people. And I think you should take care of people. If you're an atheist and you don't believe in God, there's no reason to take care of anything. If you're an atheist, you believe you're stardust. You're evolved pond scum that has no meaning. They can't shake the image of God. They realize that humans have value, that people have value and worth. If there's no God, nobody has worth and there's nothing has worth. But if there is a God and he created humans in his image, you do have worth. You do have value. It's one of the ways that we know that there's a God. Morally, Adam and Eve, when they were created, were righteous, perfect innocence without sin. And what did God say? That it was very good. It was perfect. Everyone had been given and is today has this moral compass from God. It's called what? Their conscience. You know right from wrong. When we are disguised by evil, when we celebrate good behavior, feel guilty about sin, we're confirming the fact that we're made in what? God's image. We can see things and know this isn't right. We can see things as believers and say it's not right to harm the most least of these in society. We can see things and know that it's wrong to fight with law enforcement. We can see things and wrong and say we should treat people with respect and dignity and love them because we're made in God's image. We're created in the image of God as humans. Human life is sacred, and it's an attribute that should be protected and respected at all times. There's a difference, church, between animals and humans. You have the right. I'm thankful for our farmers. I'm thankful for our farmers that grow corn and soybeans and wheat and that raise cattle. I love eating steak. Thank you, farmers. Buddy didn't go to the table to be eaten. He's a pet, but Buddy would probably taste pretty good right now, Alan. We have dominion over them. God gave us that. God says, eat animals for food, use the plants, but don't kill each other. There's a difference. Go deer hunting. Take your son out to the woods. I talk about that a lot in November. Turkey season is going to be around the corner. Go out, eat. It's good, but don't you kill one another. That's what God said. God gave the penalty for that of killing another human as what? Death. Why would God be so strict about that? You know why? The Imago Dei. Because you're made in the image of God. We're amazingly wonderful, good, brilliant. But you know what? We're not. Because sin corrupts it. We were created by God in His image and set apart from all other forms of life. But then what happened? Sin. And that image is now corrupted by sin. His image is still present though in humanity. Sanctity of life means that humanity is more sacred than the rest of creation. Humans are set apart. We're the highlight of His creation. The Bible teaches that God forms you where? In your mother's womb. Psalm 139:14 says, King David says, I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows you from the foundation of the world. He formed you in your mother's womb. Man and women are fearfully and wonderfully made. So why is there such an attack on it? Why is there such an attack on the life of humans? Same answer, the Imago Dei. Because we're made in the image of God, and God forms us in our mother's womb, who wants to attack that? Satan. He hates God. There's pure hatred for God and the beauty, the highlight of His creation. He hates the image of God. What did Jesus say about Satan? The thief, in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy the image of God. And just like Satan, when a society disregards God and disrespects God, you're going to see it in the way that society treats God's creation. The crowning jewel, the highlight of creation, is you, the humans, human beings. Satan hates God. He hates that special creation. And a nation that will not acknowledge God or His laws, what happens? You fall into the ways of Satan. And what does Satan want to do? Destroy. Destroy anything in the image of God. I want to tell you today, you know who made this issue a political thing? Satan. Satan. He doesn't want us talking about this. He wants preachers and churches all across the world to be scared to talk about it. Well, you just can't talk about that from the pulpit. He doesn't want us talking about abortion or sanctity of life or biblical sexuality. What, do you better not talk about biblical marriage or you're going to be called all these names from society. You know what happens, church? The church becomes more afraid of what a lost and dying world thinks about them than what the holy God thinks about them. We should be more concerned about God's opinion than the world's opinion. We have to be. Or how can we call ourselves followers of Christ? I believe I'm 46 years old. 50 years ago, I believe that my parents would have never imagined that Missouri would pass laws saying a doctor could kill an infant up to the point of birth. That's insane. That is evil. That's insane. That's what we've got, church. That's what we have. You have got to make a stand. The church has got to make a stand. We have to talk to people about this. We have to share the gospel with people. Parents, you got to talk to your kids about this. You have to have a conversation with your children, with our youth. We have to talk to them about this. We have to teach them why God values life. We have to teach them that your children are made in the image of God, that God values life, all life, that we have to love people and love all of creation, especially the Imago Dei, made in the image of God. Listen, we live in a world, though, we live in a society that if somebody kills a dog, they will execute that person, but celebrate when someone kills an unborn child. That's corrupt. That's evil. You guys all know that, it's probably been 9 years ago or so, 8 years ago, that dog got into our pond. I still have that aerator in my pond. And the aerator, it's on an electric aerator. It keeps, basically, I have it because me and Hunter like to go out there and feed the fish at night in the summer. And I have a bunch of pets is what I have. And we've named some of them, like Noah, big as Noah's Ark, that catfish. And they'll come out in the evening. I'll start walking out the pond to feed them. And here come all my pets. You'll see them like on top of the water swim towards the shore. And I go out there to feed them. Well, I have an aerator, so it keeps oxygen in the pond, even in July and August around here, extremely high. And that's what fish need. They need a lot of oxygen, and I feed them a lot. And so they're fat and happy, and they can breathe really good, right? Well, the problem in the wintertime is that aerator, it circulates the water. So when it's 9 degrees outside, like it was this morning, the pond will be frozen except for a big spot in the middle where the water's bubbling up. Well, that can be kind of dangerous. Because if an animal wants to get a drink of water, he's going to walk out there to get a drink of water. What's going to happen? He's going to fall through that ice. Well, 8 years ago, that happened. A neighbor's dog, and this thing was, what was it? It wasn't a Great Dane. It was a Great Pyrenees. These things are huge. And this thing was only like 6 months old, and it's like this tall. Well, I got home from work, and Selena said, Jeff, there's something in the pond. And there's this white fur ball out in the middle of the pond that's trying to get himself out by his paws. And I said, oh no, like, what am I going to do? And so I put on my boots, rubber boots, and I was about to get in the shower. So I throw on some clothes, and I throw on rubber boots, and I got a tow rope. And I take this tow rope out there, and I start easing my way out on the ice. And there is video to this. It's ridiculous. My throwing ability is really bad in this video. Needless to say, this dog, and they are smart. If you've never had a Great Pyrenees, they are smart animals. Because I threw this tow rope in and landed it in the water, and that dog grabbed the rope by its mouth, and I pulled it out. Selena was videotaping this. I put it on Facebook. Within a day, it was on Fox News. It has like over 100 million views. I wish I had told people you got to pay me a dollar to watch the video, right? Wasn't a very smart business decision. But it had all these, KY3 calling, all these people from around the world saying, PETA, I have deer on my wall, and PETA's sending me awards. I'm serious. Max, you remember the Sunday? They sent me an award and sent a box of vegan chocolate to the church. And I'm like, we're going to have the elders try this. It tasted like I went down to Marshville Mill and got some grain and put it in my mouth. This is horrible. Oh, I don't know if you like vegan chocolate. I'm sorry this morning, but I don't. And they're sending me awards. I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen all the deer that we've killed and all the frogs that I've gigged. I don't know. But it's crazy. People went nuts over I saved this dog. And I'm glad I did. But at the same time, there's millions of kids getting aborted across our country. People aren't even thinking twice about it. That's a problem, church. That's a problem. That shows you society. That shows you what it's like. That dog is not, and my parents ended up adopting that dog, and that thing is like 10 foot tall now. I'm exaggerating, but his head's like this big. His name is Fritz. He's a good dog. I don't know how they live with him because he barks all night long. But anyway, he's not, I love the dog, but he's not a human. I'm going to pick a human any day over Fritz. Because the human is made in the image of God. Some people say, well, I mean, it's not a human until it's born and taken a breath. Well, for one thing, science doesn't teach that at all. At all. But what does the Bible say more importantly? In Luke chapter 1, verse 41, it says, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. What's that sound like? Life. 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 Science has confirmed that. Today, hey, people that are pro-choice don't use a science argument anymore because they lose. They lose. You know what this sounds like to me? In 1933, there was a leader that rose to power in Germany. You guys know who I'm talking about. His goal, complete worldwide domination. The greatest generation in the history of our country went and fought him. They did. You know what he did? 6 million Jews and millions of others with disabilities were killed because they weren't the perfect race. He would send them off to concentration camps and gas them. He wanted a pure German race. They were viewed as useless and unworthy of life. So he killed them. Those individuals at the start of World War II were targeted for murder in what the Nazis called T4 or euthanasia. You know what the program required? The cooperation of doctors who would oversee these killings. These patients were sent to medical facilities where they were killed by deadly doses of drugs. Almost 200,000 people with disabilities were killed between 1940 and 1945. Did you know today in America, 60 to 90% of children with Down syndrome are aborted? Are aborted. Doctors are offering non-invasive prenatal screenings, which they introduced in 2011 to test for chromosomal disorders like Down syndrome. If your child has one, they give you the option to kill the child. In 2020, there were 930,000 abortions in the United States. That's almost 1 million a year. We are killing in America as many children at the same rate as Hitler did in Germany. That should give you pause this morning. You know what? There were pastors in Germany that stood up and said, no, we're not going to do that. And they stood on the truth of God's word. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one, a Protestant theologian that was executed because he stood for truth. That's why we're talking about this. But we're too scared of offending somebody or somebody saying something mean to us and hurting our feelings while people are getting murdered, infants are getting murdered. Church, we got to be more bold.
we got to be more bold.
What are we going to do about this? What can we do practically? Here's the practical part, and then I'm going to close. What can we do? One, you have to acknowledge that you agree with the Bible. That's the first thing. God, I'm going to agree with you, not with what society says. I'm not going to go with the majority, because I want to say the majority most of the time is wrong. It was in 2024 when they passed this to begin with. I'm going to go on what the Bible says. I want to stand on the truth of what God's Word says, and I'm not going to waver. I'm going to be more scared of offending a holy God than I am a society that's lost and dying. I got to be bold. Hey, I got to be practical. I got to register to vote. You don't even want to know the numbers in Webster County. In 2024, in the primary elections in Webster County, there were 23,620 registered voters. Guess how many cast a ballot? 6,556. That's 29%. If just the people that say they love the Lord Jesus Christ in Missouri will actually go and take 10 minutes out of their day to stop and vote on this issue, it would fail miserably. Well, I got busy that day. Too busy to save a kid from getting killed? I don't think so. All of us would go out of our way to do that. We have to be active in our communities and voting. We have to be active in doing that. In fact, I want to honor the men and women who fought and died against Nazi Germany to give me the freedom to vote. I want to exercise that freedom. I want to thank them by exercising that freedom. It's our responsibility. I have to talk to people. I have to talk to them about this biblical issue. I have to talk to them about why there's an attack and why they should honor life as the Imago Dei, made in the image of God. You know what the problem is? People don't know Jesus as their Savior. And if you don't know Christ, you have a low image of life. When you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you start like, what does your word say about this? You start to value the things that are important to God. We have to talk to people. We have to understand that this battle is not against the political party. This battle is not against a president or a vice president or a candidate. This battle is against Satan. This is a spiritual battle. This is not one, the Bible says, that's flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. Satan wants to attack the image of God and those that are made in His image. There is nothing more precious than a baby. I love it when our young married couples start popping these kids out. I love it. I love it. I love that we have a nursery every week with babies in it. Get married, be fruitful, and multiply. That's a good thing. That's a biblical thing. It's a good thing. Have some kids. Have a whole bunch of them. Any of these young grandpas, Mitch is up on me right now. You want some more grandkids, don't you? I'm ready. Let's go. No pressure on anybody in here, right? Savannah and Chasen are getting married in October. I'll start telling them too, okay? Understand, though, this is an attack on God. It is nothing more than destroying the creation of God. Abortion, that's what it is. It's a spiritual battle. Understand that. And you know what? We got to pray about this issue. This needs to be added to every single prayer list, every time we pray. I didn't even pray about this morning. It's wrong. I need to pray about this issue every single time. We have to be praying about this. Pray, God, forgive me for not standing up earlier and being more bold. Pray for mercy. Pray for a great awakening. Pray for revival in the churches to talk about this. We got to do it. Hey, I'm going to tell you, we're going to get out and we're going to make some signs about this. We did last time, right? We're going to do it again. We're going to make some signs that say, vote yes on Amendment 3. God values life. Somebody who's creative can help design them. But we need to get the message out there. We have to do that. We're going to keep supporting organizations like Choices Pregnancy Center, who moms that are thinking about having an abortion can go there and get counseling and get, what's the image called, ultrasounds done, where they see the heartbeat and say, wow, this is a baby. This is alive. I don't want to kill this. You know how that's funded? By the church. By the church. We're going to support that stuff. We need to pray about it. We're going to order those yard signs. I want to close with this morning. I want to thank God for Choices. I want to thank God for all the volunteers in our church that go to Choices week in and week out and counsel young women and fathers. Thank you for doing that. We need to keep supporting that. Hey, we need to be a church that if somebody says, hey, I'm going to abort my child, we step up and say, well, we'll just adopt the child. You know how Christianity advanced in the Roman Empire? A lot of you know this. I think I've told you this before. You know how Christianity advanced in Rome? Romans could decide. When a child was born, the father could decide, I want it or I don't. And a lot of the girls weren't considered, the young ladies, the babies, nope, I don't want a girl, I just want the boys. They'd throw them out on the street. You know what the Christians started doing? Gathering these babies up and raising them. And the Romans were like, what in the world is going on with these people? They're crazy. It opened up the way for them to share the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ by making a stand in an evil world. We need to do the same thing. Support these organizations. And then you know what? I want to close with this. I've hammered down about this morning, but we serve a God that gives mercy and forgiveness. God forgives. He destroys broken lives. Two of my favorite verses, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't say whoever unless you had an abortion or if you were involved in one. It doesn't say that. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This isn't going to go away, but maybe you're here this morning and you've been a part of this or you've had one and you have shame about this. I want to tell you, we serve a God that shows mercy and love and forgiveness when we humble ourselves. And I want to tell you that every single person in this room is a murderer this morning. Because murder to God is if you've hated someone or been so angry that you said, I wish they were dead, you've murdered them in your heart. I've done that. The preacher's a murderer this morning then. So you haven't done anything that I haven't done. So don't think that God can't use you. He can take your situations that you've been in and turn them around to glorify him. Can you imagine the testimony you could have if you start serving at Choices and meet with a young woman that's maybe about ready to have one, and you can say, I'll tell you, don't do this. That's how God takes our sin and our messes and turns it around. It's the same way with like Freeway, how God can take somebody who's lived a life of wanting to use drugs and alcohol, and he saves them, and now he has a testimony or she has a testimony to share with someone that you don't want to go down that path. You know what that is? That's a biblical thing, Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God can take it and use it for his glory. How are the hearts and minds going to be changed about sanctity of life? Telling people, sharing the gospel, teaching our youth biblically what it says, having the conversation with them biblically. We know that the only thing that will change someone's heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to share that. That has to be our message. The gospel is what changes people, not a preacher ranting and raving. The gospel. We got to go share it. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what happens? Your view on abortion changes. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, how you raise your children changes. Share the gospel. Pray for our leaders. Look, I'm going to tell you. I'm just being honest with you this morning. I'm going to have our worship team come. Worship team would come. I'm not a fan of Missouri Right to Life Church at all. Because you know what Missouri Right to Life wants to do? Not go out of business. I want to put them out of business. I want abortion to be illegal, like the Bible says, and we not even have to worry about it anymore. That's the biblical position. We have to stand on truth. Truth. And I pray when our government, even if they're my political party or not, tries to put an abortion bill out there that's just garbage because it still allows for murder, I say, that ain't right. That ain't right. That's not a biblical position. Well, Jeff, you got to start somewhere, and I don't know that we're ever going to get anything passed. Well, with God, we can get anything passed. Amen. When God's behind it. We serve a big God, not a little God. So we should just follow things biblically and let him go and serve him on this issue. I'm going to ask you this morning, pray about this. Please pray about it. I pray that you may be here this morning. You may adamantly say, I can't stand it. He preached on this. I don't agree with him. I would say, just read what the Bible says. Read the Bible and say, God, I want to follow what you say, not what a man says, not what society says. Is it biblical or not? Right? Is this a biblical thing or not? It absolutely is. We got to be bold about this. You know what? I'm going to tell you, church, until there's no longer abortion in our country, you will hear me talk about this. You will hear me talk about it. You got two choices. You can read the Bible, just like I try to do, and conform to what the Bible says, or you can fire me. Either way, I'm going to talk about it. This is what we're supposed to do. I'm asking you to stand this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, this morning. This is a tough Sunday, Lord, because I know we can do more. Even if we're standing on the right side of this, the biblical side of this, we can do more, and we have to. And it's an atrocity what's happening. And I want to be on the right side of history, God. I want to stand before you one day, and you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Even though the rest of society was corrupt, you stood on truth. And I pray that's what we do today. And as long as we have breath in our lungs, we have to stand on what your word says. Not our own personal opinions, not how we've always done things. None of that matters. None of that matters at all. What matters is what your word says, and that we stand on that. And so, Lord, I pray that we have a bold church. I pray that, Lord, in the next 10 months, before we vote on this again, that we get busy. That we get busy. And I pray for mercy. I pray for mercy for our county, our state, our country, that we've not done what you wanted us to do in this. And I pray, God, that your kingdom will just be advanced, and that we're going to do our part here in Marshfield and Webster County. It's what we can control, God, that we do our part. So, Lord, I love you today. I thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.